The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
And it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
Well, one major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents
We Love the Earth.
Normal Show Live, Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's outreach coordinator. Belleville.
Good afternoon, tokers and tokettes, and welcome. It is Thursday, June 2nd, 2011, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Welcome to the show. We are enjoying ourselves here at Rolla J Studio, getting used to our new LibraMeter software, which has automated a lot of our tasks, and it automated the wrong video to start the hour with, but that's okay. We love her anyway. Joining us also in the studio is Ganja John. Welcome back, Ganja John.
Oh, my buttons aren't working. What did I do?
Oh, got to load those carts, I think.
Oh, they're loaded. Okay. I had them in edit, that's why.
Ah, God, yeah. Get them out of it. See?
There you go.
There we go.
We're learning. We're inundated by advertising for all types
that's
of pharmaceuticals.
That's me.
A laundry list of potential side effects.
Why is that happening? Oh, I think we're starting over here. So I'll stop my automator, and we'll turn your turn you back on, and we'll get that fixed during the break. But yeah, we're learning it here on the fly. So those of you listening on the podcast, we apologize. Get it all figured out here. Also joining us in the studio is Coleco, the intern, who's hanging out there in the side saddle there. How you doing, Coleco?
Good.
his mic doesn't work either.
Yeah. I switched it back to three.
Okay.
Oh, we're good.
Put it back where it belongs. We're having a lot of fun here in the studio. Let's see if Cannabis Carrie is out there in Grass Storia hoping for the best. Carrie?
Wrong button again.
There's the swoosh. I must be here.
Carrie's there. The swoosh is there. It's chaos here at Rolla J Studios.
Wait, you know, seriously, we just don't believe in beta.
That's right. This is it.
This is beta.
All right. Carrie brings us our headlines right after the first break. What do we got in the news today?
Well, today we're going to go. I'm going to tell you about a report that was put out by a pretty impressive global commission. Also, Newport Beach, California is trying to shut down their dispensaries. And I want to give you an alert on two marijuana bills in Connecticut that may be running out of time.
All right. We'll look forward to that right after the first break. And then today is Groovin' Thursday in our daily Toker Tunes. And I didn't get to see if we'd gotten a new tune uploaded today.
We do? I don't know what it is, though.
We don't know what it is. So we'll get that to you at 20 after, whatever it might be, from John Doe Radio. And then it has
Skakis, holes in my pocket.
Who it is?
Skakis.
Skakis.
You like that?
I don't even know what that means.
Me either.
All right, we'll play that at 20 after. At 30 after, we've got Terry Joyce here with our Southern California scene, and she'll have another great guest joining us. And then at the end of the show, a little chance for some radical ranting. So stay tuned. It's Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation, right here on the Normal Network.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation. Been busted? Need a lawyer? Call the Normal Legal Committee for an attorney near you. Find one at norml.org. Remember, attorneys are cheaper than a lifelong criminal drug record.
Is that freedom? Freedom. I'm free to do it.
Yar! Tharby pirates here.
guys love the normal show. Because it's always smoking, matey.
This is Normal Show Live. Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carrie.
In Connecticut, time is running out on two marijuana bills. They will need to pass the General Assembly before next Wednesday's adjournment. Lawmakers have been working behind the scenes to finalize proposals to decriminalize personal use amounts of marijuana and to legalize medical marijuana in Connecticut. Both bills have survived the legislative committee process and are awaiting action in the Senate. House Majority Leader Brendan Sharkey, a Democrat, said that he was under the assumption they were not going to make it out of the Senate. But Michael Loeffler, Governor Daniel Malloy's criminal justice undersecretary, said he is confident that at least one of the two bills is going to pass. Democrat Senator Eric Coleman, a Judiciary Committee chairman, was also optimistic that the proposals will go forward thanks to some recent changes. They did increase the fine on the decrim bill from $99 for possession of less than a half an ounce to $200 for the first offense and $500 for a second offense, but still just a civil penalty. Possession of under 4 ounces, according to the bill, will now be punishable by up to a year in jail and a $1,000 fine. Minors will also face losing their driver's license for 60 days, as well as a fine. Of course, not everyone is on board. Republican Minority Leader John McKinney called the idea of decriminalizing of marijuana one of the worst ideas he's ever heard in his 13 years in the Senate. On the Governor's Bill 1015, the medical marijuana bill, amendments to take away the provision for home cultivation made its way into the law to help get it to pass. And it did sway the opinion of Democratic Senator Edith Prague, who said that she has changed her mind and will now support the revised medical marijuana legislation. Senate President Donald Williams supports decriminalization measures but opposes medical marijuana. He wants the model to resemble other prescription drugs before he said he will change his mind. Senators and lawmakers are all talking about these important issues currently, so if you live in Connecticut, we urge you to contact your representatives today. We can help if you go to normal.org and give us your zip code.
Yes, please do go to the main website. Look for the Write Your Representatives button. That'll take you to the Take Action Center. Eric Williams is running our lobbying efforts there in Connecticut with Normal Connecticut, and we can get in touch with him. If you send me an email at stash@normal.org, if you're listening to me and you're in Connecticut and want to get involved, please send me an email, and I'll put you in contact with Eric. He's trying to build that new state affiliate and get more like-minded people to help him out. It's a lot of great work he's doing. He's sending out a lot of good press releases and getting the information on this bill out there. He's gotten a lot of good media requests and done a lot of great interviews on this. Now, as far as the decrim bill goes here, this it's kind of weird to me when I see states trying to go over and establish a policy that other states have already had for decades, right? All the other states that we're dealing with, pretty much to my knowledge, it's like a $100 fine when they're busted. I know that's what they've got in Massachusetts and here in Oregon, it's $100 and so on. This idea that it would be $200 and then increase it to $500 for second offenses. The problem with that is when the fines become too large and you don't pay the fines, you can then be given bench warrants and summons and be held in contempt for not paying the fines and end up in a cell anyway. So you make this too high up there, and we're talking about usually young people that are busted for these things. $500 fine's a lot of money when you're working at a Taco Bell or something. So I'd like to see those fines come back down. But again, any move forward in decriminalization or medical marijuana is an important move forward. Please get in touch with me. I'll get you in touch with Eric Williams in Normal, Connecticut, and we'll get one of these or both of these bills passed this year.
In Newport Beach, California, officials have decided to try and shut down three medical marijuana dispensaries by taking legal action against them for alleged city code violations. Tara Finnegan, the spokesman for the Newport Beach City Council, has authorized her staff during a closed session to begin a nuisance abatement proceeding against West Coast Cure, Nature's Alternative Solutions, and the Healing Tree. City Attorney David Hunt says that it is simple. The city's zoning code does not allow people to operate a facility that violates federal law. He says that nobody in Newport can engage in illegal practices when it comes to businesses and that they are in violation with federal law. He told reporters that they are going to take that position in the proceedings. The manager for West Coast Cure, Jarrett Wasserman, said that no one from the city has contacted his store about the city's actions as of this morning. He said that he has not heard of any complaints from residents surrounding his shop and has heard only good things from his neighbors. He said that there was a fear among the local residents that the shop's presence in the area would become a party house and be a constant noise disturbance before his business opened, but he says he keeps regular business hours to decrease additional noises, and loitering in front of his business is not allowed. He also tries to abide by all the laws. He added that he has no plans on shutting down and will fight for the rights of his patients. Back in May, the city council had an item on their closed session agenda that was made public called Potential Initiation of Litigation Involving the Illegal Sale of Marijuana. Members declined to comment on that item at the time. Also, in an earlier exchange, City Council spokeswoman Tara Finnegan said that dispensaries were prohibited under Newport zoning and municipal codes, even though it does not address them specifically. We'll let you know how it all turns out.
Well, I guess the federal government has to be relieved that the city officials of Newport are enforcing federal laws now. We will not let you zone an area. You cannot break federal law in the area we're zoning. Look, you're the city of Newport. Your job is to enforce the city ordinances, county ordinances, maybe even some of the state laws of the state of California. A state law which, by the way, makes it legal for people to use and cultivate and collectively garden medical marijuana. But you want to reach out to the federal government all the way out in Washington, D.C. and use that as your justification. You'd rather go against the will of the people in your own state to go seek an opinion outside your state, outside interference, to justify your hatred of medical marijuana and your lack of tolerance for dispensaries there in your city. This is another sad story of the discrimination that we face here as medical marijuana consumers in this country. Again, up to 1.5 million of us. And we are reaching the point now where we are in demographic levels, especially in the state of California, that are equal to gays and lesbians in that state. And imagine if Newport Beach were talking about nuisance abatements for, oh, I don't know, gay disco clubs or associated shops or something like that. There would be an outrage. There would be a hue and cry against this. And if they were then to try to justify that by going out and pointing to federal laws like, I don't know, Defense of Marriage Act or something, there'd be even more outrage about this. It's amazing how much discrimination and intolerance the general public will put up with when it's not your sexuality, your religion, or the color of your skin, but rather the medicine that you take that they're going to discriminate against you just because of some ridiculous, antiquated, immoral federal prohibition that says that what we're doing is illegal. We are patients. We are not doing anything illegal, and it is time to start respecting us.
The Global Commission on Drug Policy, an international organization that monitors drug use and drug laws worldwide, has reviewed the current war on drug policies and issued a report. Not surprisingly, they have declared the global war on drugs a failure, and they're urging nations to consider legalizing many drugs, including cannabis, to undermine organized crime and protect citizens. The current strategy of criminalizing drugs and locking up consumers of the illicit substances does nothing in the battle against drug cartels that rule the drug trade. They call the failure devastating on individuals and societies around the world in the report that was available today. Basing some findings on the successful experience of the Latin American Commission on Drugs and Democracy, they say that, quote, experimentation by governments with models of legal regulation of drugs is a more humane and just way to deal with drug problems in societies at large. They say this is especially true when considering legalizing cannabis. The report estimates that there are 250 million users worldwide that consume illicit substances, with less than 10% of them classified as dependent. They say that millions of people are involved in cultivation, production, and distribution of those illicit substances, quoting UN estimates. The conclusion of the study says that decriminalization initiatives will not result in significant increases of drug use, but instead guard against corrupting law enforcement and protecting citizens. Part of the commission, former Colombian President Cesar Gaviria said, quote, "Now is the time to break the taboo on discussion of all drug policy options, including alternatives to drug prohibition." The 19-member panel also includes the current Greek Prime Minister, George Papandreou, British businessman Richard Branson, former U.S. Secretary of State George Shultz, U.N. Secretary General Kofi Annan, and other former heads of state. Other members of the panel include former Mexican President Ernesto Zedillo, former Swiss President Ruth Dreyfus, and former Brazilian President Fernando Henrique Cardoso, and former U.S. Federal Reserve Chief Paul Volcker. They say fundamental reforms in combating drug use and abuse are urgently needed in national and global drug control policies. Some of the recommendations of the commission include replacing the criminalization and punishment of people who are drug users but do not hurt other people with health treatment and services. They recommend countries that continue to invest money in law enforcement as an approach to drug control should focus on violent organized crime and drug traffickers. They also included a suggestion to promote alternative sentencing for small-scale and first-time drug dealers. They say the majority of these people are not involved in organized crime. The report called the vast expenditure that has been spent on criminalizing and repressive measures by governments have been futile efforts not reducing the supply of drugs, and added repressive efforts directed at consumers impede public health measures to reduce HIV/AIDS, overdose fatalities, and other harmful consequences of drug use. You can read the full report for yourself at globalcommissionondrugs.org/report.
Yeah, and something I hope everyone noticed as Kerry was reading the list of people involved in this recommendation: former President of Colombia, former President of Mexico, former President of Brazil, former Secretary of State, former Secretary General of the United Nations, former State Secretary at the German Federal Ministry of Health, former Chairman of the Federal Reserve, former President of Switzerland. Always seems like when these guys get out of office, that's when they come to their senses and go, oh, gee, you know, this war on drugs really sucks. But when they're in office, when they actually have the power to do something about it, they are strangely mute on the subject. Now, to be fair, George Papandreou, the current Prime Minister of Greece, is on that panel, so that's fantastic. But I've been reporting on this since 2008, and this is not the first time I've written a story on an international report that says we ought to legalize marijuana and think about ending the war on drugs. Former President Vicente Fox for calling for a debate on marijuana legalization. Latin American ex-presidents urge U.S. to decriminalize marijuana. Former U.K. drug warrior, what harms society is not the illegality of the drugs. Now, I did report on two stories where current presidents said something. The Argentine president, president of Argentina, called for decriminalization, and a Jamaican lawmaker calling for legalization. And then when we actually look at the results, the world leaders at the United Nations put out the report that showed the successes that they've had in Portugal since they decriminalized all drugs back in 2001. A decade's worth of research showing that they've got less harm, less addicts, less teen use. Everything you'd want to reduce in the problems of drugs have been reduced since Portugal has decriminalized all drugs. Unfortunately, it's the current leaders that we need to get to that point of thinking, is that we need to end this war on drugs. And of course our drug czar and all his minions are going to come out and say this is a bad idea. Rafael Lamater, spokesman for the ONDCP, said making drugs more available, as this report suggests, will make it harder for to keep our communities safe and healthy. And of course Gil Kerlikowske said legalizing dangerous drugs would be a profound mistake, leading to more use and more harmful consequences. But you know, the funny thing is, drug use peaked back in 1979, and since then, we've legalized medical use in 16 states and decriminalized in two more, and all of the use has gone down. You can't have it both ways, drugs are. Either it's good or it's bad, and we'll talk about more of this in the rant.
I tried a hotkey and it didn't work.
Well, we're learning on the fly, and by the end of June, I'm sure we'll have this all worked out. Yeah. Thanks for joining us, folks. We're going to take a break. Be right back with some Daily Toker Tunes. Groovin' Thursday.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would send you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
The world's greatest cannabis competition is coming back to the Bay Area. Over 100 strains of medical marijuana will go head-to-head to see who's the dankest in California. Indicas, sativas, hybrids, concentrates, edibles, plus THC, CBD, and CBN testing. The High Times Medical Cannabis Cup, June 25th and 26th at the Concourse Exhibition Center in San Francisco. It's gonna be awesome! Get your tickets at MedCanCup.com.
As High Times Senior Cultivation Editor, I'm often called into the field and asked to sample or even identify exotic strains of marijuana in their natural habitat. Now, for the first time, I've compiled more than 120 of my favorite strains into this single field guide designed to fit into your pocket as you travel the world in search of your favorite plant. From Friend's Closet Grow Room to the wilds of Northern California, this single guide covers all of today's best-known strains, plus heirlooms and throwbacks, including High Times quality photos and information on each variety's genetic heritage and growing characteristics, plus my personal notes on aroma, flavor, and potency. So this is Danny Danker, author of the official High Times Field Guide to Marijuana Strains, wishing you good times and great ganja.
The official High Times Field Guide to Marijuana Strains is available at hightimes.com and finer bookstores.
It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Today we bring you tunes for Groovin' Thursday, our salute to all the dopest beats and killer rhymes that we find in the best of rap, hip-hop, soul, R&B, and funk. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now here's some more great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes.
John Doe. John Doe Groovin' Thursday on Normal Show Live. Today I bring you a band called The Skakas, one of the original bands we played on John Doe Radio Show when we were a bi-weekly show back in 07. But this band is a great song I'm going to play for you today is called Holes in My Pockets. We all are familiar with holes in our pockets. It seems like I've got a hole in my pocket. Every single pocket I've got just goes right through the pants down to the bottoms. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. Thank you guys very much for supporting us here on the John Doe Radio Show. If you'd like to learn more about the Skakas, they have a MySpace page. Not much else out there about them, unfortunately. Remember when ska was really cool and really fun? Well, I guess it's still fun. Why wouldn't it be as fun as it was before? Maybe because not many people still listen to it. But anyway, I digress. Ska and reggae mix here. It's the Skakas. Song is called Holes in My Pockets. I'm John Doe. Till we meet again, thank you very much. See you. Just
Baby, girl, you know I put all my trust in you. From the beginning, I just knew that you would always be true. But then you lied to my face, like I wouldn't find out. But no doubt, I got the feeling that you're not connected for a relationship, girl. You got me wrong. It's just smooth talking and it's been too long. But you got to stay strong, yes, you got to move along. Cause I'm singing you my song, I said, girl. Yourself a new boyfriend in high. Yeah, yeah. You came up so quick and I can fall in love. Yeah. And now you wonder why I don't even pick up my phone. Just a lesson learned, you got to do it on your own. Just a lesson learned, you got to do it on your own. Let's learn to get to do it on your own. Yeah. Just so let's learn to get to do it on your own.
Copy of that song for your iPod? Check out the Daily Toker Tunes at the Stash blog by surfing to stash.normal.org and choosing Media and then Toker Tunes from the main menu.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
I'm a doctor.
I'm a lawyer.
I'm a journalist.
I'm a student.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a representative.
I have cancer.
The outdated laws of prohibition are more dangerous than the plant itself.
I lost my scholarship.
I was fired.
20 million arrests since 1965. This is getting ridiculous.
Our prisons are overcrowded with nonviolent offenders.
We have the opportunity to change.
This is costing our country billions of dollars.
Making my family and I fight in a courtroom is difficult enough when I'm already fighting through chemotherapy.
There's no reason to be scared by tradition anymore.
We can stop this.
We can stop this.
We are the American people.
We can stop this.
And you have our support.
We are old.
Young.
Straight.
Gay.
We're every race and nationality.
And we're not going to give up.
You can tax it.
You can regulate it.
Apply age restrictions.
You can create millions of new jobs.
We can save our economy.
President Obama?
It's time for legalization.
Legalization?
Yes.
We
can.
This has been a public service.
In terms of legalization of drugs, I think that the battle, the war on drugs has been a utter failure.
The war on drugs has been a utter failure.
And I think that we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws. Criminalize our marijuana laws. The war on drugs has been a utter failure.
Criminalize our marijuana laws.
The war on drugs has been a utter failure.
Criminalize our marijuana laws.
The war on drugs has been a utter failure.
Criminalize our marijuana laws.
The war Normal on Show Live, where we don't change our position on decriminalization in an election year. We'll be right back. touch that dial. We'll be right back after a word from these 420 friendly sponsors. Wait a minute. This is internet radio. There are no dials here.
I smoke lots of weed, man. I plant that big old seed, man. I smoke every strain there is in town. From the super sticky green to the headache maxi brown, I smoke every strain there is around.
I know that I like it. I know that lots of people like it. So let's see what happens if you overdo it.
Do we have any pot smokers here today? Any at all?
My name is Doug Benson, and I'm about to get super high.
The term medical marijuana, you've basically, you drank the Kool-Aid, because there is no such thing as medical marijuana.
I'm going to smoke pot every day for 30 days and try to remember to film it.
And my movie's going to be called Super High Me,
or Business as Usual. I haven't decided yet on the title.
I'm going to be hospitalized, I think.
Some people call it dope. Some think it smells like burning rope. I tell you, it relieves my mind.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are experiencing technical difficulties. Please stand by.
We've got a problem with our Skype connection. We are rebooting the Skype machine. We'll be right back with Terry Joyce and Doug Ferguson just as soon as we can. Hold tight. Maybe we'll play some music, too.
and gentlemen, we are experiencing technical difficulties. Please stand by. Ladies and gentlemen, we are experiencing technical difficulties. Please stand by.
Center of American Cannabis Culture with our Southern California correspondent. You know her from ComedyNation.com and her appearance as a finalist on season one of NBC's Last Comic Standing. It's our friend, cannabis comedian and marijuana activist, the lovely and talented Terry Joyce.
Hi, Terry. Thanks for being so patient with us. We were having some problems with our Skype machine, but it appears that we've got everyone online. Are you there?
I'm here.
Yay!
I'm here. I have complete compassion for having online connection problems.
Happen on the Hemptress Hour now and then?
Happens on the Hemptress Hour. It happens just in life. You know, I have this thing about, like it says, like, 97 million Americans have smoked marijuana at one time in their life, and 97 million Americans use AT&T, which means that we don't give a shit when our calls drop.
You know? Yeah, maybe that's
it's
it.
It's just technology, but eventually we connect, which is good.
Yeah, and it wasn't the new technology. I mean, our automation software, we just bought this automation software we put online this week, and it's working great. It was a problem with Skype. So anyway, we're back. We're glad to have you here. Tell us what's happening for you here in the month of June for the Hollywood Hemptress Hour and, for Terry Joyce in general.
Well, you know, we do have a Hollywood Huntress Hour where every Wednesday from 5 to 6 p.m. We just taped our new episode yesterday. I had adult film director Erica McLean on the show, and you know, she's a big supporter of medical marijuana. And I also had the guest that we have here today, and what's compelling about them is my friend Doug Ferguson. He was part of the marijuana float that we did back at the Gay Pride Parade in 2008.
Okay.
With Erica and everything, and because she was involved in that too. But what's interesting about Doug is that he had been a caregiver to a friend of his who had HIV for many years and used medical marijuana to help him, extend his life through that. And now he is a terminally ill cancer patient, and they came on and they talked about how he's concerned about getting safe access in Arizona. Mm. You know, as you know, there was that a botched SWAT team pot raid that happened to a Marine that was shot.
Yeah.
Did you read that headline?
Or yeah, 70 shots in 7 seconds. 60 of them hit the Marine. He laid there for over an hour before paramedics were allowed to get to him, and, of course, he died.
Yeah, yeah. And also, Glenn has been very much a part of, Arizona, legislation. He's been an activist publicly in this community. And what's interesting about Arizona, how they feel that California is a little too lax on, just giving medical marijuana recommendations for what they would consider to be frivolous ailments. Whereas with them, they have a more restrictive list, MS, patients, cancer patients, HIV patients, things of that nature, and they're not so inclined to be as lenient, according to them. But I should stop talking and introduce our guest, Doug Ferguson, who can give you more of a firsthand interview on that.
All right, Doug Ferguson, welcome to Normal Show Live. How you doing?
Good. How are you? Thank you for having me on.
Well, I'm glad to have you here. Glad to have someone talking to us about the situation in Arizona to catch other people up, of course. Arizona passed medical marijuana, and they've got a system of dispensaries set up in their law. But now, most recently, the director there, Will Humble, won't accept any dispensary applications. The governor is suing to try to get the federal government to shut down the Arizona program. How is all this playing for you guys, for you, the patients and caregivers down there in Arizona? How do you feel about all this?
Well, yeah, I remember whenever the bill first came out and they said, Arizona is going to be, marijuana positive. Everybody was very happy, especially the medical patients. And, not so much as the, hey, dude, let's get stoned, but the medical patients were very happy. And since they've adopted the feds can override the state, like California, everybody's running scared now because Arizona is certainly more conservative and Sheriff Joe,
yeah.
he has a zero tolerance for just about everything. And including drunk driving. If you get caught drunk driving, your first offense, you go to jail for 30 days.
Yeah.
Which is a good thing. But all the patients are pretty concerned that they're not going to be able to get their medication.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. It's scary. And you mentioned Sheriff Joe Arpaio there. He's, of course, the sheriff people know of from some of the news reports. He has the tent city jails with all the inmates in pink underwear. And when they say,
right.
Joe Arpaio has a zero tolerance policy, it's probably just more accurate to say he has zero tolerance, period. He's not
exactly
a tolerant person.
Exactly.
Pink underwear. What's up with, I don't get that. Repeat that again. They're wearing pink underwear?
Oh, yeah. When he puts them in the jails, he makes them wear pink jumpsuits and pink underwear, like T-shirts and boxers. It's supposedly, he tries to play it as, there's studies that say pink is a calming color. But really, it's about emasculation. It's a power trip. It's a way
to
humiliate the prisoners.
That's
horrible.
Yeah. So, exactly. Doug, I wanted to talk to you about, you know, the use of medical marijuana. You say you've been a caregiver and now, you know, dealing, fighting against cancer here. We just yesterday on our show talked about studies now that are showing, at least in monkey trials, that the use of cannabis is useful in keeping down the viral load from HIV. Can you give us some perspective, you know, both from your time as a caregiver and as a patient on how medical marijuana has been beneficial for you and the people you've helped?
Absolutely. Well, I'm just a caregiver. I'm not HIV positive, and I'm a recreational smoker once every Christmas and New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
However, Glenn has been HIV positive since 1989. He's a longtime survivor. I don't think he would have been able to survive if he didn't know his medication and his use of marijuana for his nauseousness and you know, all the medicines they give you, you just can't keep food down unless you self-medicate. And so he's been, you know, he's really been in tune with his body, in tune with his doctors, in tune with his medication. And medical marijuana certainly has helped, you know, with his nauseousness, his appetite, his whenever he smokes it calms his, you know, kind of centers him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, I think that I can't understand why medical marijuana or even marijuana recreational is illegal, because it would be, you know, it would cut out a lot of criminal element, a lot of, you know, look at the Mexico border wars that we're having. They, you know, they're killing people right and left over this. So obviously there's got to be a lot of money and a lot of money to be made on this. Otherwise they wouldn't be killing that many people.
Yeah, yeah. We're speaking with Doug Ferguson here on our Southern California Scene with Terry Joyce. And, Doug, you know, that Arizona initiative, when we passed medical marijuana down there, passed by the barest of margins of any of the initiatives that passed it. 50.13%, like a handful of votes that got this passed.
Yeah.
So do you think that that's part of the problem here with getting the program instituted, is that the governor and all these officials feel like, well, you know, there's really not that much support for it anyway, so let's just go ahead and throw up roadblocks?
Now, you know what? I think that they think that they're going to be modeled after California,
mm-hmm.
where California is going after, you know, legalized marijuana for everybody, even the hey dudes, let's get stoned. I think that Arizona is afraid that Arizona is going to be the same as California, which you know, it's Arizona's, you know, all the medical people, the medical marijuana users are, you know, on board with the, you know, medical use, but the hey dude people are, it's more of a medical use than recreational here.
Yeah. So the issue is really one of perception, in that the officials and the naysayers in Arizona are thinking or perceiving that medical marijuana means what they're going to get in next door California, instead of looking the other direction and seeing what's going on in New Mexico. I mean,
exactly.
Always blows my mind when there's the 16 medical marijuana states, but everybody looks at California.
Yes. And you know what? And the fact that guy got shot 60 times and lives for an hour just absolutely amazes me. I saw that on the news, and I saw, you know, I saw a blip of it, and I didn't even understand, you know, what had happened until you guys just said something about it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, that's, it's, it, how horrible.
Yeah, and do you have any updates there, you know, on the local level? How's your local media covering the death of this Marine?
You know what? I've seen it once, and that's been it. It's pretty much been swept under the rug.
Yeah, yeah. That's what we're seeing too. You know, Radley Balco has been reporting on this, and he said how, you know, the sheriff's departments down there are changing their story, and they're saying, you know, they first said that they saw a flash of the muzzle firing, but then they find that the guy had his safety on the whole time. It's what an awful story down there.
Yeah, I didn't even realize it until you guys brought it up. I saw a blip on the news, but that was it.
Yeah. Well, Terry, as we wind things up here, I always like to give you a chance to wrap up with a question of your own for our guests. So, anything you'd like to ask Doug?
Well, you know, there's just a couple comments that I want to make. One is that I love Doug's reference to the coin phrase as the "Hey Dude" people.
Hey, dude.
He's like, we're not the "Hey Dude" people. I find that kind of a little funny to myself. But one thing for Doug, I just want to mention about Doug is that he is I want to do a plug for him, and he is an amazing photographer, and he shot the Statue of Liberty picture of me with the marijuana picture. So
the pot leaf boob pasty picture.
He's a photographer for that.
Doug, thank you from the bottom of my heart.
You know what? I called High Times and sent him over a copy and said, "Hey, I've got a great cover for you."
Yeah, I thought so.
It.
It's a beautiful shot. Well, where can people find more about your photography or any information about you, Doug?
You can find my website at www.dougthephotographer.com.
Dougthephotographer.com. I can even remember that. And Terry, you got any gigs coming up aside from Hemp Dress Hour? Any stand-up live stuff going on?
I do have a show. I have a show for the Laughter Foundation that Stephen Allen Green has mentioned, and you can find that through Facebook. That is going to be June 25th. The date was actually moved, so this is a new date, June 25th. And I'm also at M-Bar on the 28th with on the 10:30 show. And Craig X. Rubin will be performing on it, as well as a very funny comedian named Dylan Brody, and an amazing lineup on that show, too, as well.
Excellent. And we're looking forward to the next episode of Hollywood Hemptress Hour, available on the Normal Network tonight at 8 o'clock Pacific time. So check it out. It'll also be in replay throughout the week. Terry Joyce is our Hollywood Hemptress. You can catch her on newdissidentradio.com as the Hollywood Hemptress Hour, and Doug Ferguson at dougthephotographer.com. Thank you guys for joining us here on Normal Show Live.
Thank you.
All right, when we come back, rant time.
Normal Show Live reminds you to never smoke and drive impaired. Hang out for a while and share.
The day was hard and your work was long, and you need a break from all that's wrong. You better look at the clock, cause it's 4:19. Time to reach in that pocket for your bag of green and smoke that weed. Smoke that weed. Smoke that weed. Smoke that weed.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not gonna take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Hoo-ah! Radical rant.
All right, welcome back. Sorry about the technical difficulties early. This means I have to cut the rant a little bit short today, but got still a few things to add on this story of the former world leaders saying that the war on drugs was a failure and that we need to start looking at decriminalization and legalization of drugs. And I'd even fix that chyron there if my computer would come back for me, but hey, this is the kind of day we're
Whatever.
Having. It's that kind of day.
Yeah.
All right, so I wanted to address a couple of the things, because the ONDCP, Office of National Drug Control Policy, the Drug Czar's Office, responded to this report where all these respected world leaders and researchers, all, you know, entrepreneurs like Sir Richard Branson, all get together on a global scale and say, war on drugs is a failure, time to legalize marijuana, right? This is their response. One of the responses was, making drugs more available, as this report suggests, will make it harder to keep our communities healthy and safe. That's from Rafael Lemaitre, the spokesperson for the White House Office of National Drug Control Policy. More available. Making drugs more available. And remember, when they say drugs, we're talking about marijuana, right? Because most of the drugs used are marijuana, most often. So, more available. When right now, 1 out of 4 high school kids can get a bag of weed within an hour and say that it's easier to buy than beer and prescription drugs.
Right now, where there's 25 million American adults using cannabis annually and 15 million adults using cannabis monthly now, but if we legalize, it'll be more available, it'll be easier to get when we're carting those kids, when we're carting them with IDs and selling the marijuana only in adults-only stores. Yeah, it doesn't wash or it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. One interesting thing in researching that stat, though, that I found out, that figure of the kids saying it's easier to buy cigarettes and easier to buy weed than cigarettes and beer, that's a stat that comes from the Joe Califano website, the Center for Addiction and Substance Abuse, CASA. And I pulled that number from 2009, and I figured I'd update it and tell you what the number was from 2010. But they changed the way they asked the question. This is something you'll find drug warriors do when you, like me, and you study these things year after year after year, you see the same report year after year after year. You'll find that sometimes they will change their methodology because they're not getting the answers they wanted. One really good example was the DEA used to report on how many marijuana plants they'd seize, and they'd report them on whether they are indoor, outdoor, or ditchweed. And the reports would show that 98% of what they eradicated was ditchweed. And we kept pointing that out, and so I think it was 2007, they stopped reporting that. They said, oh, well, we won't mention that anymore. But they're still eradicating more than 90% ditchweed. We just won't mention it. Well, in that same vein, that's what they're doing at CASA with this figure on kids say it's easier to buy marijuana than cigarettes or beer. Because in 2010, they changed the question to which is easier to get, not which is easier to buy. And when they changed it to what is easier to get, alcohol and cigarettes went to the top of the list, and then marijuana was third, you know, quite a bit lower than in previous years. Well, yeah, when you talk about easiest to get, that's because we're talking about kids getting it from their liquor cabinets, from their parents, you'll sneak one from a pack that's in their mom's purse or something like that. And I would certainly hope that marijuana being legalized would have better controls than that. But and again, they always want to change the rules in the middle of the game to get the answers they want. Now, here's Gateway Gil Kerlikowski. He had to weigh in on this because he is the drug czar, after all. And he said, legalizing dangerous drugs would be a profound mistake, leading to more use and more harmful consequences. Administration officials dispute the idea that nothing can be done to reduce demand for drugs in the United States. A spokesman for the White House Drug Agency said, U.S. consumption peaked in 1979 when surveys showed that 14% of respondents had used illegal drugs in the previous month. Now that figure has dropped to 7%. Well, once again, remember, when Gateway Gil says drugs, he means marijuana. Because among 12th graders, if you just want to take the kids, because, you know, it's all what about the children. Among 12th graders, monthly marijuana use peaked in 1978, but amphetamines peaked in 81, cocaine peaked in 85, ecstasy peaked in 2000, hallucinogens peaked way back in 75, heroin peaked in 2000, and sedatives peaked back in 1975. But again, since marijuana is the most popular drug, 15 million people use it every month, as compared to all other drugs combined when it's a third of that, then any time the marijuana number moves, the drugs number moves. But since Gateway Gil brought it up, I'd like to note that his claim of monthly drug use dropping in half since 1979 came as 16 states passed medical marijuana laws and two more states decriminalized marijuana possession. All of the previous drug czars at the time warned us that if we legalized marijuana, even in these very specific and limited ways, it would be a profound mistake, leading to more use and harmful consequences. It's understandable, since you and your predecessors are bound by law to oppose any move toward legalization, so you can understand when we completely ignore your Chicken Little warnings about how the sky is falling. Hey folks, thanks all. That's all we've got for the rant today. Thanks for joining us here at Normal Show Live for Kalika the Intern, Cannabis Carrie, and Ganja John. I'm Radical Russ. Stay tuned for Hour 2. Talk to you tomorrow, and until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Take it on one more time. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. can take a seat, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roam it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.